Hello and welcome to Shaman Sister Sessions, episode 113. I'm Michelle Hawk and I am here with my dear sister, Catherine Bird. And today we are so, so excited to talk with you about soul-aligned offerings for practitioners. This is a continuation of our past episode called Your Healing Business. So in case you haven't tuned into that yet, I recommend going back and checking that out at some point, along with any of our other amazing episodes. We've got obviously over 100 of them. So, you know, 100-ish hours of amazing content for you. You can like, follow us, subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please go ahead and circle back and check in if there are any topics that are calling to you. Today, we're delving into this soul-aligned offerings in your practice for practitioners, because this is something that both Catherine and I feel really strongly about, that we have a lot of experience in, and something that we see a lot of our clients go through as they're developing their healing business, their healing practice, and the soul-aligned offerings that ultimately force slash invite them into their greatest expansion and growth and invite their clients into the same. So thanks for joining us. Kat, how are you doing?
Great. Amazing. Super wonderful. It's, you know, a little bit warmer today, so I'm not as bundled up. I didn't have to start a fire or anything. So
it's what, 30 degrees instead of 20 something?
No, it's actually in the 50s.
Oh, wow.
So it's nice. It's an actual nice kind of warm day. So, yeah, so that's really fun. I'm wearing my new Michelle Hawk jewelry.
Amazing.
Because she's really good artist, creator, extraordinaire. And yeah, how are you doing?
I'm great. I am all bundled up. It's very cold out and wearing my dragon something. My dragon. I don't know. It looks like dragon scales. That's what I think of. And like, honestly, I wear this in bed more than I wear it out in the world. It's so cozy. It's one of these handcrafted by women in Nepal, ethically support. I mean, we could do a whole like episode on like shaman fashion. Fashion. We don't need to right now. Right. Like, tell me about your crystals and your like artisanally crafted shaman pants. And I've got those on too. You just can't see them.
Right. I have my pants from the UK that were handmade. A little blanket from Nepal, too.
Okay. So that's a different episode.
Yeah. All right. We will have an episode. We're going to have an episode about, you know, temples and homes and different ways that we set things up and why we set things up the way we do in our home space. And then also maybe some of the reasons that we're wearing what we wear sometimes.
And, right. Because I mean, yeah, that's funny. Like we've talked about the home space before and, you know, I switched up my background. So I'm facing a different way now so people can look at something a little more interesting behind me. But yeah, it's a lot of this just sort of goes unsaid of like, why do we wear what we wear? Why are we sitting where we're sitting? What are, you know, all of these things that we just never, ever talk about. But for another time, we're sticking with the business stuff today.
Right. So we're talking about aligned offerings because they're as practitioners, you know, it used to be, I think, a little bit more like, well, I have an office and someone comes, or my home, someone comes to see me for 1 or 2 hours and then they leave and you know, that's it. I mean, you know, people used to pay with, I remember you see it, cash, checks, like, you know, it was kind of like this sort of simple way of doing things. And then as we've all become more invested in the internet and social media and growth and coaching and all of these pieces, now we're like, oh, okay. So there's all of these other things that I could be doing. And some people are saying I should be doing, you know, running group programs or sort of mastermind-ish type stuff, membership programs, you know, short run stuff, long run stuff, retreats, programs that lead into retreats, retreats that lead into programs.
Facilitating at other people's retreats, having a platform, having a book, having a podcast, right?
Right. Look at all of these things. And it can be really overwhelming because we start looking at, well, comparison, right? And comparing ourselves to others and what they're doing. And we're like, oh my gosh, I've got to have a free offer for this. And I've got to have a $29 offer. And I've got to have a $47 offer. And I've got to have a $97 offer. And I've got to have a $500 offer and a $12,000 offer and everything in between. And I've got to have all these funnels, and I've got to have Instagram and Facebook and YouTube, and now I've got to do stuff on Clubhouse. It's just going to fall off the end of the earth whenever it's finished being recorded. And I've got to have the podcast, and I've got to have, you know, all of these pieces. It's no wonder that so many practitioners either get stuck starting or get stuck somewhere along the way just with overwhelm. Mm-hmm. And then this inundation of marketing to us over what we should be doing, or the right way, or the best way, or whatever. So Michelle and I have been doing this for a long time, and between us, I mean, one-on-one work, different formulas of different kinds of group work, live stuff, canned stuff, retreats,
teaching,
a lot of retreats together, workshops.
Yeah.
Michelle used to run a lot of channeling circles where she would do channeling. Like there's, you know, moon circles, shamanic circles, ceremonial things. Like we've done a lot, private intensives, like one-on-one private intensives for a weekend, traveling somewhere to go do retreats or intensives. So many things, speaking at events or conferences.
Right. We've each written a book.
Right. Oh my gosh, we have this podcast, like look at all these things they're doing.
There's a lot here. And you know, Kat, what you were saying about the overwhelm, right? It's like, I think, you know, where people can end up with this inundation of advice, honestly, and advice and comparisonitis and looking at all of these very typical entrepreneurial models, like we talked about in our last episode, people end up either never starting because they get stuck in the like, oh fuck, what do I do? Or starting and feeling overwhelmed and kind of throwing up their hands and not really getting anywhere, or they end up in some sort of suffocating, like not really congruent model of their business and offerings that ultimately are there simply to fulfill a checklist of what they're supposed to have in their business, really is what we see most commonly. Unless, I will say, and it's so funny, I was talking with somebody this morning, we're out walking the dogs, and like someone I know from the dog park, and we're just, you know, walking together. And he kind of asked me like, oh, well, what's your business like? And I told him, well, I will have been in business for 12 years this May. And he said, wow, those are the ones you don't hear about all that often. And I said, I know, you know, combination of, you know, sheer stubbornness and the recognition that I don't really think I'm all that employable, combined with the fact that I, you know, have learned the right things at the right time. I've learned, you know, as I'm going, and I'm really good at what I do, you know, but it is this combination of, you know, commitment to this calling, like this soul calling of your work, combined with learning the right things at the right time and having the support that you need, and then the stubbornness or the force of will or the desire, whatever you want to call it, to push through those growth edges and keep going and let yourself come through the other side, having not only the skill set of whatever your practice is, this is the thing that you never learn, right? Or until you do, you don't learn it until you learn it, but you have to not only be a master of your craft in terms of how you're supporting people and the transformation that you're bringing them through or the healing that you're offering, but you also have to be a master of business. And those are two completely different skill sets. But when we're aligning them together, ultimately there is this soul alignment. There is, you know, we could say one would be an aligned practitioner, for example. Right. In that their soul alignment, and Kat's laughing because she has a program called Aligned Practitioner. Right. Shamelessly plugging it for
plugging the program.
As shamelessly. This is a free podcast. We can say whatever we want.
That's true. We can. That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, with all of those things, it can be overwhelming, confusing, disappointing, frustrating, all of the things. And we're like these living examples of having done a lot of these things and tried a lot of these things. And, you know, another thing that I see a lot is that practitioners will sort of follow a model that isn't actually meant for them and start building their business kind of upside down, in a way. And instead of building something that is focusing on what's going to actually bring in some money and give them the stability and the structure that they need in order to build out things, they start building out a lot of really complicated things that they need a lot of IT support on, that are really cheap offerings that they need a lot of people to be in, but they don't really have a list. Then they've got to start doing ads and they're spending money on that. And so can actually end up in a lot of debt or having to go back and get a job or so on, because it's like they're building a model that isn't actually built for them. This is another thing that I see a lot with, you know, healing work practitioners who are kind of taking marketing advice from people who are selling, you know, tchotchkes, right? Who are like their sales and marketing strategies are made for working with really high numbers or a lot of bringing, you know, 100 people or 1,000 people or 5,000 people into a thing. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of us, for a lot of healers and practitioners, you might not have contact with thousands of people for quite a long time in your business, because we have a tendency to kind of grow a little bit more organically and to be very high touch people in general, where we're high service focus. And so the people that we work with, people in our groups, interacting with them, we're supporting them, stuff's coming up. It's not just that, you know, I can necessarily the best idea to not have ever done a group before and then be trying to get, you know, well, I need 1,000 people to buy this thing. Because generally we're doing deeper work. So it's kind of hard for us to slip into some of those other models sometimes.
Yeah. And I would say those people do exist. There are absolutely healer practitioner people or even, you know, metaphysical service providers, astrologers, et cetera, who have a model like, you know, Chani Nicholas, for one, she's a really good example of, she has, you know, her, her free offerings of horoscopes. She's also an awesome astrologer. P.S. If you don't follow her, I highly recommend it. I like her readings a lot, or I like her, her horoscopes and breakdowns, and she has her Instagram. Like, she has a lot of stuff that you can interact with for free. She has a lot of stuff that you can interact with for less than $50, right? I've never bought anything of hers, but, you know, I know people who have. But she has thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And then she has, you know, I'm sure she does readings for like Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, right? So, you know, she's at that caliber. So I'm sure if you wanted a reading with her, it would be in the multiple thousands of dollars. So there are healer practitioner, metaphysical service provider people who fit into that category. Most likely you don't, because I would say most of us don't fit into that category. And our offerings inherently, you know, also partly related to the fact that many of us are really sensitive people. And personally speaking, I don't want thousands and thousands and thousands of people's energy in my field. I don't want to have that type of experience where, you know, because I care deeply about my clients and I hold a very specific temple container when somebody comes in to work with me. So I know that whenever I'm in a relationship with a client, I am holding space for them. I'm holding them in my field. And I know that I have space for X number of people to do that in the way that is comfortable and safe and in integrity for me. So that is part of my soul aligned offering, is part of my, you know, what my offerings ask of me is that when I'm inviting anyone into any type of healing space with me, I think about them, I include them in my prayers, I'm holding space for them in my temple space, in my sacred space. They have a place on my altar. There is this this kind of constant care that is involved, even when we're not in session, there is energy that's flowing their way because that's part of my soul alignment. And I know that I feel comfortable and safe doing that for a smaller number of people because that's my capacity. And that would not be sustainable. That would not be feasible. And it would not be in alignment with the soul essence of my offering to have that for a very large number of people.
Right. So this is really important to be tuning into for yourself and looking at for yourself, because you might really want to have a huge fan base of people who are, you know, consuming your products and reading your books and taking your courses and so on. And that might be a way that you reach a lot of people, but then you have a very small, you know, one-on-one, you know, offer that you only work with so many people at a time. Or you might, like, what is it that you really want? You know, do you want a big group where you are, have a Facebook group with a lot of people in it and they're in a program and you're just a part of supporting this entire large organism that sort of, you know, people supporting each other in that process? There's all of these different ways to do it. And the thing is, when we look at something and we see it from the perspective of that's what I should do, or I'm doing this because that's just what someone told me to, or I'm doing this because this is what I think will make me the most money, sometimes we haven't really sat with what is this truly in alignment with me physically, energetically, spiritually? Does this work with my life? Does this work with the cycles that I live in? And if not, what's the modification that I need to make in order to make this sustainable? Because we burn out. I've worked with a lot of practitioners who've had a business doing healing work and then have gone back into the job force or have chosen to do something else because it's just like no longer became a sustainable solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really important. So I would say, you know, that's probably the first piece of alignment where we're looking at a soul aligned offering is it aligned with your personal, how you run your energy, your time, your energy, your lifestyle, and aligned with how at the deepest core sense you are called to serve. Because all of us are here because we have a soul calling to serve. Mm-hmm. So if you are, did we do an episode ever on soul contracts? I feel like we did at some
point. Yeah, we did one at some point, I think early on.
It was a while, yeah, quite a while ago.
Yeah, we definitely did one.
Okay, so I would say, yeah, shoot back to that one, because I know we talked about this at some point in there in terms of like going back and working within the soul contracts. And if that's something that you haven't done before, or maybe you just haven't done in a while, but dropping into journey space, meditation space, whatever you need to do for, you know, for tuning into what is that essence for you? What is the soul essence of this contract of how you are here to serve? And then building your offerings from a place that is holding that in highest integrity.
Right. We are going to do this in aligned practitioner. And, awesome. And because for some people, even if we're called to something, we might be called to an aspect of it that isn't actually meant to be the way that we're facilitating, you know, like I've gone and trained in medicine ceremony work and done quite a bit of that work and supporting it and helping to hold that container. But I was aware that wasn't actually my soul path, and that doing constant ceremonial work and medicine work and, you know, staying up all night for multiple nights in a row, you know, several times a month wasn't actually the thing that I needed to be doing as a facilitator or as my business or as my soul offering. But it was an amazing transformational training experience and learning and growing and evolving and becoming more of who I am through the process of that. And so sometimes we are really called to train in something, and that's actually not even part of our offering. It's there just for us to, evolve and grow. And then, but what we do is we go, oh, well, I just spent, you know, $6,000 on this program, and now I need to be doing sessions like my teacher does. I need to be, you know, holding the container in the exact same way that I've been taught, doing this specific protocol, and I need to build my business around that and use their languaging. And sometimes it's meant to integrate into everything else that you're doing. And sometimes it's just for you to have that process of discovery and exploration for yourself.
Mm, I think that's a super important piece, right? There is absolutely that temptation of, okay, I have a certification in XYZ, or I took a class in whatever modality. So now as a practitioner, I have to include that in order to justify it or make it worth it. So let us please remove that temptation from your mind. You know, I know there are things that I have trainings in, similarly to Kat, you know, I have trainings and certifications in a lot of things that don't actually make it into most of my sessions. They do in some, you know, there are sometimes these different modalities or these techniques kind of pop in when they're needed, but ultimately it was part of my growth at both as a practitioner, as a person, as a human, to have that experience. And ultimately it either kind of led me in a different direction. It was a stepping stone along the path, or it was just for me personally. And it didn't actually need to be part of the offering. So I think that's a really important piece around discernment of not every training, not every piece of knowledge that you learn, not every book that you read has to become part of your offering. That's another one. I see people read books and then all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, you know, this book, Brené Brown, I need to, you know, work with shame and vulnerability in my offerings now. I'm like, do you, or do you just really like Brené Brown? There's a difference. So that's another piece of being in discernment about what holistic blend of your trainings and teachings is wanting to come through in your offerings.
Mm-hmm. And that is the piece around giving yourself the time and space to integrate what you're learning, to work with what you're learning, to, you know, bring through in your own uniqueness, even through these, in the way that I like to teach and facilitate in my programs, where I'm teaching skill development, and I'm teaching healership and channeling and all of these things, and there's skill development in there. But at the end of the day, like, I've been running my Healer's Process program right now, and like every single live call, I'm like, okay, so stop needing this to be perfect. Stop needing you to do the practice in just the right way. Like, really listen to the way that your system needs to work with it right now. Or, you know, how are you modifying this? How are you changing it? How are you working with it in context of your unique medicine, your unique magic, in order to enhance who you are and what you're here to do, instead of hide behind someone else's modality in a way that, for most likely, you will spend a lot of time promoting and creating something around someone else's thing, and then eventually be like, oh wow, there's like me in here, and then have to spend a good portion of time maybe deconstructing some of what you've already built to give space for you. So I think that's another place where we sort of, as practitioners, we get a little stuck in needing it to look like someone else's, our teacher especially, mm-hmm. or to follow their formula of how they work with people, and the way that they facilitate, the way that they run their programs or run their groups. I know for, you know, one of my teachers right now, like, both of the programs, there's not interaction so much. It's like, you're there to learn, you're learning, you know, that's it. You're there learning. There's not a lot of interaction, but when I run my group calls and my programs, I'm like, what is going on with you? What is happening with you? How are you integrating this information? What's coming up? What are you noticing? What are you discovering as you work through this? Because that part I love, and I love holding a container that does that. So
you're really good at that. And I feel like that's part of your soul aligned offering. And I feel like this shows up in my work too, of like, you are a very intuitive teacher and you know that about yourself. And so, you know, having, and I've been in calls with you where someone brings something up and then it sort of changes the course of the entire conversation and it ends up serving everyone. But the only way that you're able to do that is because you have this ease and comfort and presence to be in tracking the energy of the group flow and following the guidance as it's coming through, not only for that individual person, but also for the group. And that is, you know, again, I want to emphasize, you're able to do that because it is soul aligned, you know, right. But, and I've witnessed other people, other practitioners, other facilitators. And I even have been in this situation myself when, you know, years and years ago, when I was a little less confident as a practitioner, when I was delivering what felt like someone else's curriculum. And it, I wasn't in ease about it because it wasn't mine. And I learned pretty quickly with this. I was like, oh, you know what? Actually, this, I'm following somebody else's formula in regards to how this work is wanting to flow through me. And this was Reiki, like years and years ago. And I know everybody and their mother has a Reiki certification. Me and my mother have Reiki certifications, right? Literally. And it is a useful healing tool. And yet it is one of many practices that comes with its own set of, you know, especially depending on the Reiki training that you have, right? This is an example of one of many practices that has its own set of dogma, its own set of lineage. Whenever you have a practice with that much lineage, it comes with not only the benefits of the lineage, but also the shadows of the lineage. And this is true of any teaching. So when you're working within an existing system, there is inherently constriction upon that because of the collective energy of it. And also there is strength in that because of the collective energy of it. So it's neither a positive nor a negative. It's just simply, is your soul in alignment with that offering or not? And for quite a while, I was in alignment with practicing Reiki and teaching Reiki because it was an important part of my soul initiation. But then as I grew in confidence and in fluency, it no longer felt in alignment and I was able to shift out of that. You know, so now, you know, where Kat is a very intuitive teacher, I know that has been really a long time development for you in terms of feeling comfortable being your shamanic self in front of groups of people. And that wasn't always the case for you, but it is part of this soul alignment that you've grown into that has enabled you to do that.
Right. And, you know, that's sort of looking at the difference between like a closed system and an open system. And, you know, are the teachings more free and open or are they more closed? And then we get these messages and this information coming from our teachers that tell us what's right and what's wrong. And sometimes we have to really sit with that and really feel into, for the truth of us, what is right and what is wrong. And I work with a Lama and he sees his work as opening that lineage and opening that system. And his teacher and guru and the Rinpoche, like, he was like, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to open this system. And he's gotten enormous pushback from other lamas of, you know, you're not supposed to teach things until this and this and this and this and this. And the same was true of the alchemists that I work with. When they started teaching alchemy, and this was really before anybody was teaching alchemy out publicly on the internet and all of these things. And they had death threats that came to them from alchemists in weird parts of the world. And but with that, it's like, we have all of this sort of stuff that we've been taught both in our trainings that we are holding, like that's what we're holding. Like when you have a teacher and they are very strong energetically and spiritually, and they say something, we really hold it and we take it in. And then we also have the information of the marketing people and the sales people and all of this. And they have a certain amount of energetic power because they make money. So then we also invest a lot in what they say. And while, of course, we all need guidance, we all need mentors, we all need education, like those are so important, it always is important to keep coming back to self and listening to ourselves and really checking in, like, does this actually make sense for how I want to experience my life? Mm-hmm.
I want to expand on something that you said both in our last episode and kind of have alluded to here, right? In terms of a soul aligned offering, like how do we know that an offering is soul aligned, right? It aligns with our soul contracts of how we're here to be in the world. It is this, you know, in integrity with the, you know, the different lineages and the different, you know, the authentic expression of the lineages that we have and our own soul essence, right? But, you know, one of the things that you've sort of touched upon and we've kind of circled around is this, your business and your offerings kind of as this cosmic playground, for lack of a better term, where you are here to receive initiations. And I think it's really important to remember that as practitioners, as healer practitioners working in the mythopoetic relationship with life and with transformation and growth, we are never done. We're never stagnant. We're not complete, right? There is this sort of ever evolving process and unfolding and spiraling that happens within our own individual system, as well as those of our clients. So I think it's really important to remember that, again, your offerings must inherently be a place where you can have that experience, because that's part of what you're here to do. If you are here to be working in the mysteries, then you are eternally a student of the mysteries. Okay. So ideally your soul aligned offerings will be a place, you know, so often we think of our offerings as a place for our clients to come have transformation, but they're also a place for us to have transformation.
Right.
And the truest, best soul aligned offerings hold space for both. Mm-hmm. So it's really this built with the idea. And I think my alchemy course is like the quintessence of this. You know, I'm finishing up the third year of I Am Alchemy, and no other offering in my business to date has held this much power and potential, both for my clients and for me personally, as this cosmic playground of soul initiation. And, you know, having been in business for coming up on 12 years, like I have enough perspective now that I can recognize that. And it's really this, is there enough space for you in your business? Or are you building your offerings only around what you think your clients need? There needs to be space for your growth and unfolding within that too.
Right. Or only what you think is going to make money. Like, yeah. Like, you know, like that's where a lot of us are coming from, right? Where we're like, well, I have to diversify my offerings, or I have to create something to have steady income, which is, you know, very wise to start creating things so that you're not scrambling every month or whatever. That's important to be looking at, like, what are the fundamental structures of the business that are going to give me the income and the sustainability and the stability in order to live my life, to have the life that I want to have, where I can do the things that I want to do, right? Do more trainings, buy really good food and supplements and, you know, take some time off and all the things that we want to do, right? But I know that for me, I know that something is a soul aligned offering when, I mean, I don't generally create anything with the idea of this is gonna make me whatever. I mean, I work shit out, you know, as I'm doing it, of like, okay, this is how many people, and this is how much I'm going to charge, and then this is how much I'm going to make, and all of those pieces, right? Like, money is a big part of it, but the little bud of the idea of what I want to create, it never comes from a searching for a thing to solve my money problem. It always comes from this deep spiraling, opening, blossoming intention towards something that I'm creating to support and help. And when I'm looking around and I'm like, okay, what am I seeing? You know, that I often am in that inquiry of like, what am I seeing out there that if I could do something about it, then that would be a great benefit and also would be really fun for me. And I'm excited. I'm excited about it because I'll tell you that if you've never run a online course before, or like a group program that's more where you're making videos or, you know, there's more than just like we're having some live calls in a Facebook group, right? Like there's a lot of work that goes into this stuff. You know, there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of pieces around the marketing and the facilitation and uploading videos and, you know, putting things out and sending emails and all of these pieces. Like there's a lot of moving parts. And if you are not super passionate and loving what you're creating and the reason, the sole reason that you're creating it, it's going to be frustrating and you're not going to have fun and you're not going to like it.
Yeah, well said. I love what you described, like the bud, the spiraling open bud of a new creation. And I think that feels really similarly. I resonate deeply with that. And the two pieces that you said of, you know, what are you seeing out in the world that needs support and what would be really fun for you? I want to like triple underline that. I would say my process is in reverse of what would be really fun for me and how can that help people, right? But it is essentially the same question of, you know, and really, I think, can we use aligned practitioner as an example of this? Because that is currently the emergent bud in your business, right? Yeah. So where did that come from, right? Can you tell us more about why that's a soul aligned offering? Why is this a perfect example of a soul aligned offering?
Well, because when I look at my client base and I have conversations with people, and I see that, you know, they've done this year or 2 years of being with this business coach, but then I have a conversation with them and they haven't actually figured out really who they are in their business and what their offers really are, like at this soul aligned level of being able to discover the truth of what their modality is beyond what they've been told to do. When I see so many practitioners that are struggling with their, you know, how they're going to message or with building out their website or with just getting things sparked and out there. And I know that they're incredible practitioners. I know that they're highly skilled and highly trained and really passionate, and yet they get stuck in this place. And then oftentimes they may invest at a very high level in a business coaching program and not actually get out of it what they should or what they could. They get lost in it. And so as I've been over the years, of course, when I'm mentoring practitioners, like we have to deal with the business. We have to deal with that stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, somehow I'm good at this. So let's, you know, I want to see everyone thrive. Is where I'm coming from. Like, I want to see healers and channels and people who are shamanic and people who are therapists and people who are passionate about helping people thrive, because I can't serve that many people, honestly, like as many people as I can serve. But if I can get them serving more people, then all of a sudden we've created this huge web and grid of light and healing and transformation on the planet that's going to contribute to what is my deepest soul's longing, which is that the human race evolve and grow and come to a higher consciousness and stop destroying everything and destroying each other. Like that highest, highest, highest vision, it's like, there's part of me that's like, okay, well, how do I organize myself in order to have that highest vision? Now, I'm not going to be, I need to figure out how to like be Jeff Bezos and build a billions of dollars company in order to, you know, invest in all of the new technology, in order to run massive corporations, in order to change this thing. That's not my role. My role is, how can I train these people so that we all reach out and reach out and reach out and reach more people, so that the effect is happening on the energetic and the spiritual and the level of the internal, you know, consciousness shifts that need to happen in order for that to occur. This is what it requires.
Mic drop. Right? Can you feel, so as you're listening, or maybe you're watching the video, like, can you feel the power of that? When Catherine's speaking about this soul aligned offering, and again, remember, this is sort of currently emerging, right? Like, this is in the, it starts what, February 14, right?
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So on our celebration of love, like, this celebration of love day is birthing this, this bud into being, this soul aligned service that not only it would be fun for Kat, because I know she loves supporting people and doing this kind of thing, but it is also deeply in alignment with the essence of her soul mission and conviction. And it is congruent with what she's seeing out in the world where people really need help. So I think that that is the perfect example of a soul aligned offering that is currently in the process of coming into being. And I know it's going to help a lot of people and ultimately be really both of service to those that you are holding the container for, and also be really fun for you. So it checks all of our boxes on, is it a soul aligned offering? Thank you for giving us that example.
Well, and then, you know, another way that like when I'm looking at my offerings, so I have several offerings that I'm now, like, I do those every year. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I built the first offering, right? And then the next year I was like, okay, well, what would be the next thing? If you did this, what would be the next thing that you would need after that? And I was like, okay, so I built that. And then I went back and I was feeling into it. And I was like, you know, there's something before the first one. Like, what's that one? Mm-hmm. Okay, so before you get this training, actually, this would be the thing that would be really great. And that's Five Elements for Empaths. And then, you know, when I'm looking at all my offerings, like, okay, well, what do they need now? Well, actually, they need to take all of these skills and trainings and abilities and put them out into the world. So that's also where this came from. Yeah. So it's having offers that are all congruent. Yep. They're all working together. They're all feeding one to the next so that people also get to have a journey and an experience. And, you know, this is one of the things in my business that I do have people who work with me for years.
Yeah.
And that is amazing, because for quite a bit of my business, and something that is a struggle is when you have to always be having, everybody's brand new, everything is new, everything is always like a brand new thing, and you're always having to bring in new people, and it's always new material, and it's always new everything. That can get exhausting over time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm curious, Michelle, what do you see as like incubation period? Does that make sense?
Like, say more about that.
Well, because it feels like, for me, I feel like things will come in and I'll get like, oh, I'm supposed to do this thing. Like, I know that I was getting this awareness and understanding and messages that I was supposed to have a course for empaths, right? Mm-hmm. And I knew that, but then I didn't do anything with that for quite a while until I really got into more Qigong and Chinese medicine and looking at it from that perspective. And then I was like, oh, this is the, like, this piece, like all of this stuff that comes together, like this is where the empath course is anchored. You know, it's almost like the training that I started doing was being called, you know, the course, like the offering that I had was calling this training into being, so that then I could come back to the offering. But it took, you know, a couple of years before
it
actually came anywhere near fruition.
But my question would be, would you say that that's typical for you?
Yeah.
I mean, I have a very different experience.
Right. So you have a very different experience.
Right. But well, so is that typical for you though, where it's like this really long incubation?
Yeah. Because for like the membership, my membership heroes, like yeah. It was over a year where I was like, I'm going to do a membership, but this is what I want to do. And these are the things, but I was like, I couldn't, like, I would write about it, but I couldn't get it. Like the solidity of it was not there. Like, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, you know, in a, like a week, I was like, this is what's going to be in it. This is what it looks like. These are the words. This is the thing. This is what it's called. Boom.
Right.
But I knew it was coming for over a year.
Right. Well, and with channeling too, I mean, I remember I practically like had to force you to sit down and make the channeling program. Cause I'm like, oh my God, come on. Like, let's just get this out in the world already. And like,
yeah, the channeling program was definitely like other people saying, this is what needs to happen. Will you please do it? And me being like, I don't really want to. So
and it was a soul aligned offering, right? But it was basically me like buying a flight saying, okay, I'm going to come down on these dates to help you with your retreat. That sort of like catalyzed that into action. But yeah, incubation wise, like my experience is very opposite of that actually, where I will say the times that I have tried to do it over the long incubation period have been the ones that haven't worked for me. Mm-hmm. And again, because I've, you know, like, I also want to just like bring in a side note here. The only reason that Kat and I know this about ourselves is because we've been in business as long as we have. And I will say, you know, speaking for myself, I have run like a stupid amount of programs and events and had, you know, like had lots and lots of clients moving through these different channels in my business, which is how the only reason that I know what I know about myself and how my system works. So for me, again, having tried and had things work and had things not work, I know that when I have this seed of inspiration, it needs to move into actualization much more quickly in order for me to be in integrity with how it is asking to be born in the world. And so, you know, a couple of years ago, actually, like, when was that? It was like 2 years ago, I think. I tried to do the long incubation because, you know, I heard from other mentors and I heard someone say like, oh, just because you have an idea doesn't mean that you need to act on it. And of course, the person saying that is someone who takes a great deal of time and deliberation and runs their energy very differently from me. But I said, okay, so I channeled, I remember what happened. I was driving home from, I used to volunteer at a Wild Mustang Rescue Ranch. So I, you know, was working out with the horses and, you know, like doing all the things with the horses. I was driving home and I downloaded a whole 4-day in-person training, like the entire curriculum on my drive home. And I was like trying to voice memo it on my phone as I was driving. I was like, okay, I can remember this. This is easy. And then I get home. I was like, this is brilliant. This is really amazing. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to wait and I'm going to quote, do it right. And I'm going to give myself a year before I deliver this so that I can talk about it, so that I can blah, 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 blah. It was okay. I would say like people got a lot out of it. I enjoyed doing it, but by the time I had waited and sat on it and done what I thought was the right way to do it, it ended up not being the right way for me. And by the time I actually delivered it, I would say it had moved into a different space where at the time when I brought it through, that's when it was supposed to be born.
Yeah.
And so for me, the most successful offerings I have had are when I'm following that creative thread where I get, and for me, it feels like it usually starts with a, oh, wouldn't it be cool if ... Right? Like, wouldn't it be cool if I did this thing? Like, I kind of feel like I'm supposed to do this thing. And right. Then I'll sit on it for a while and I'll dream about it. And then it's like, oh, and here's another layer of it. Oh, and here's another layer of it. And then, oh my God, I'm supposed to do this thing. And that I know that when I get the, here's the thing, that's when I hit the ground. That's when I, you know, do whatever research I need to do. That's when I put it into motion. And that's when I start telling people about it and it flowers.
Yeah.
And during the flowering process and having people come in, that's when I learn more about it. That's when it evolves and grows. And then the next time I do it is when it deepens and solidifies and anchors. And then usually by like the second or third time I do it, it's fully manifest. But I know that for me, part of the way in which my offerings naturally are born is by telling people about them and having people come in and play with them with me. And that's a vitally important part of my creative process and of the soul birth of my offerings, which is really scary sometimes, I will say.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like there's just this moment when, like, it doesn't matter how long it takes for me, you know, whether it takes a year or 2 years or like a month or a week, it's like, oh, this is the, if I can, there's something interesting about like, if I can, if there's this moment when the process comes together and I can like write down these like steps of the thing and it's like, oh, that's just really clear. That is clear. And I usually, once I get that, you know, outline, it's like, that doesn't actually change. I might change it a little bit, or usually I have to add an integration section because I always forget integration. So, but at first, so, but you know, usually it is what you're talking about, where no matter how long it takes to sort of be in the, that what I'm saying is the incubation phase, like there is this spark of life force that like comes in and it is, okay, this is happening. And I think that we can get weird there if we're not used to trusting when something comes in that's really strong and we can second guess it, or we can be like, oh, but how is this going to work? Mm. Like, how, I don't know how to build a course platform. I don't know how to get this many people in, or I don't know how to facilitate in this kind of way because I've never run a retreat in another country before, but this is what I'm being asked to do. And the how, you can figure out the how will come together. You can get support on the how and trust it. But don't let your how derail the life force energy of what it is. Like, start working with the life force and get that to educate you as to what the how is, and to call in the people that are going to help you get the how together.
Yeah. I will say though, I am really glad that I had the experience of trying it the other way, just so I could anchor in even more the trust of following that divine inspiration, right? And so, you know, I think that the, speaking of incubation period, right? Like the most glaring example of this in my business is the I Am Alchemy course, which I channeled and wrote the book for the course while I was doing the course, which again, is this, and I told my students what was happening. Like, everyone came in informed consent style. None of them had any illusions about what they were walking into. But it was very, very challenging and scary and intimidating for me, and definitely brought up all of my, like, do I actually know what I'm talking about? And can I really do this? And can I pull this off? And it ended up being this really, because it is such a soul aligned offering for me. Again, I'm finishing up my third year of teaching the course, and I feel really, really strongly now how much it has anchored in my field due to the care and the devotion and the curiosity and the depth and everything, that how it is continuing to evolve and settle into both my personal essence and into the entity of my business. But I am really, really glad that I had that contrasting experience of downloading this training and then waiting to do it, so I could feel the difference. And so I could feel how doing it this way, which is in this like radical collaborative conversation with spirit, is truly part of my soul aligned offering, and how working within somebody else's system, again, following the advice of a mentor, PS, our, what was that episode called? Like, my shaman gave me bad advice, or my mentor gave me bad advice, right?
Yeah.
We talk a lot about this, right? And so this was that mentor's advice that I was taking that fell under the bad advice category, right? Just because it wasn't meant for me, where I followed this person's system of, you know, wait and sit on it and flesh it out and develop it, which is not my soul aligned offering.
Right. And you're like a manifester, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's in reference to human design. And so there's all of these systems out there, whether you're looking at, you know, astrologically and human design and gene keys and wealth dynamics I'm learning about now. And, you know, all of these different ways that we create, and that that our creative process works, or that our business way of doing things works for us. Yeah. And we, by taking advice from other people that doesn't work with the way that, coming back to our very first thing we were talking about, if it doesn't work for your system, the way that you process information, the way that you like to engage with people, the way that you thrive in your creative process, then it's not going to give you the experience that you want. If it's successful or not, it's going to be something that has, it's going to take more energy than it needs to. When we're really in alignment with the way that we create, we will end up with a lot of energy. I worked 12 hours yesterday because I was just like, okay, great. I'm writing and doing and whatever, putting all these things, seeing clients and all of this, because I'm feeling super passionate and aligned with what I'm creating.
And that doesn't normally work for 12 hours, 12 hour days. I'll caveat.
I don't normally work 12 hours days. I do work actually. I do work fairly long days, usually 1 to 2 days a week.
Right.
I'll work like a really long day. But you know, it's because it's like, it's easy. It's in my creative cycle.
Yeah.
To be focused like that right now.
Yeah. And that's another, like, you only know that about yourself by virtue of trial and error. Right. Mm-hmm. So again, all of you who are tuning in, and I think, can we do a little bit of a recap about like soul aligned offerings for practitioners, right? Some things to pay attention to.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Right. Okay. So analysis brain coming in. Summary number one, does your soul aligned offering actually work with how you are and who you are, right? And all, everything that's involved in that, in terms of how you like to interact with people, how you like to work in your business, how you like to spend your time and energy, how many days a week you like to work, how many hours a day you like to work. You know, all of the different pieces of that, and how your creative energy runs, how your offerings run, your human design, your numerology, your astrology, whatever. Is your soul aligned offering compatible with all of those parts of yourself in a way that is enhancing and highlighting in the best possible way the true empowered essence of your soul and your sovereign majesty?
Right. And I would go back to, we've done a few episodes where we talk about cycles of power. I think there is one called Cycles of Power, and going into energetic power cycles and tracking those and how you can use those to, you know, enhance your life. So check that one out.
Yes.
Okay. Number two.
Point number two.
I don't know.
What's point number two? We talked about a lot of things. Okay. Point number two would be, I think looking at the soul contract of how you are here to serve, right? And having your soul aligned offering really be in integrity and in reflection of that soul contract of your service, not trying to fit into other people's boxes or other people's business models, but letting your service come from this place of, what do I see in the world? How do I want to help? And what would be really fun for me? So I think that would be sort of point number two. And that's a combo point. Point number three.
You're really good at the analysis part.
Thank you. I'm really good at summarizing. I love data, right? This is the spiritual scientist part of myself. In summary or conclusion, point number three would be working within, I guess this is sort of the same as number one, like how to recognize a soul aligned offering, right?
Uh-huh.
That would be the bud of unfolding.
Right. Bud of unfolding and your own awareness of your incubation and your creative process.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be looking at how you are experiencing the life force energy of your business and your creations.
Yeah.
Not as something that you're pushing around and forcing and making and doing, but that is something you're having an active, deep relationship of your own personal transformation through. That was one of the points.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah. its own relationship to your own personal and your client's transformation and evolution.
I think that would be point number four, is like, how your soul aligned offering as the cosmic playground for yourself and your clients.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
I think we got all the points.
There's a lot of points. Great. So, there's so much more, right? As we're building soul aligned offerings and we're building out our business and our practices and everything. And the great thing about this is that you don't have to do it like everyone else. You get to be you. You get to be relentlessly, curiously you. And you get to play, you get to explore, you get to fail, you get to succeed and celebrate. Like, all of this is about the journey of who you are, right? So it actually, if you're having any doubt or like confusion or struggle, because we all struggle in our business from time to time, we're like, oh, this isn't working, or I don't know what's next, or I don't want to do it, or I'm tired. you know, we all have those moments. So, or it's changing so fast, we don't know how to keep up with it. So if you're having those moments, just really come back to yourself, to that mission that you're on. What do you want to see more of in the world? What do you want to experience more of in the world? And be playful and curious in these inquiries as you're going through this. Because it can, there's no need to add layers of density on top of what you're creating here, because it really doesn't help. It doesn't serve. It's just going to make it harder to fly.
Mm-hmm. And less fun for you.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. Well, I hope we gave you enough to think about. I'm sure, you know, for all of you tuning in and who are, I know some people who are going to be listening to this are prolific note takers. So I can see you right now taking lots of notes. I know who you are. But I hope that this was helpful and valuable. Kat, Aligned Practitioner.
Aligned Practitioner. It starts February 14th.
Yeah.
2021, if you're watching this in some time capsule. This is going to be a 7-week course for practitioners with live calls every week and a lot of great content and a massive workbook, because that's how I roll. And here's another thing. So aligned offerings, right? Things in your business and in the program that you love to do, like love doing those things. From the time I was a tiny child, I was obsessed with workbooks, and stacks of workbooks in my room with all of the things and the numbers and the letters and the drawing and the learning notebooks. I was obsessed. And I let myself continue to be obsessed and not judge the fact that I might give you a 70-page workbook when you do a course with me, because it's like, no, here's a bunch of information. Here's a bunch of inquiry questions, like get to work, right? It very much satisfies my 4-year-old who was, you know, telling my stuffed animals, here's your workbook, get to work. Awesome. So that's another piece of, you know, how do you know something's soul aligned? You've been trying to do it since you were 4.
I mean, that's, yeah, good indicator there. I like keeping track of things. So I have charts and data, right? So my alchemy book that I wrote is like, here are all these charts.
There's a lot of charts in the alchemy book. Yeah. Yeah. And graphs and like different kinds of graphs and stuff. So yeah, listen to those things that you love. And so, yeah, if you're interested, you can reach out. You can find it on my website, katherinebird.com. There's even a free opt-in where you can do a tiny baby little mini course with me around this stuff, because not only do I go into all of the nuts and bolts of building out the business and the really practical stuff, I also link all of that with energy work and working with the energy body, so that we're not just working on one level, we're anchoring it into every level and fulfilling my personal vision of anchoring that field and that grid of light and healing that we're working on together.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And your website is katherinebird.com. We should say that too. Okay, awesome. Thank you, Kat.
And Michelle?
The thing that is wanting to be born through me right now is a soul aligned offering on alchemy for practitioners. So you can't buy it yet because it doesn't actually exist, but knowing me, it will very, very soon, because again, that's my, part of my creative process. And so if you're interested in that, you can hop on my website, joyofenergy.com. And if you're not already getting my emails, then just pop your email in there. You'll get a dragon meditation. You'll get, you know, whatever cool freebie I have at the moment, which I think is the dragon meditation. And just keep an eye out, or you can email me directly if you're super interested. And you know what, Michelle, or if you're like, you know what, Michelle, I want to know about that immediately before everyone else, then just send me an email and I'll let you know. And you can email me through my website. But that is, again, speaking of soul aligned offerings, it's one of these glimmers that I got of like, you know what, I have this really extensive alchemy teaching in practical and philosophical alchemy for people who are looking to incorporate this into their lives in a really deep apprenticeship style way. But what about practitioners out there who want to incorporate some of these foundational principles into their existing healing practice in a way that doesn't require a year-long apprenticeship? And so that's really where this came from, is anchoring in some of these principles of alchemy into an existing healing practice in order to take it from simply healing or coaching or service into true transformation, which is, you know, again, not everyone's work is true transformational, even though we say it is, but basing that practice in scientific spirituality and spiritual science. So that's what I'm working on these days. It sounds a little jumbled because it hasn't fully coalesced yet, but again, it's only a matter of time. So stay tuned, give me a minute and it'll be up and running here in no time. Oh, and my website is joyofenergy.com. That's important. So in the meantime though, please follow, like, subscribe. You can tune into any of our past 112 episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. If you like our work and you would like to support us, please consider becoming a patron on patreon.com. So that's patreon.com/shamansistersessions. You can donate as little as $1 a month. That would be helpful just because we have costs to upload our videos and maintain our site platforms. We just had our website renewal come up again for $100, whatever. So, you know, please consider donating to help us cover our costs. Or if you'd like to donate via PayPal, you can send us a donation through PayPal at shamansistersessions@gmail.com. So stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. You can follow us on Facebook. I think that's about it. There's a lot of places you can find us. So please find us or send this episode to anyone that you know who might need some support, whether they're an existing or new practitioner who are looking to make some changes to their offerings. So send us out in the world so we can continue to fulfill our soul aligned purpose of supporting people like you.
You're really good at that, Michelle. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.